Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, about 600 years before the birth of Jesus, a man named Habakkuk went to the Lord in prayer. And his prayer can be summarized in one word: why? It's a prayer that many of us have prayed to in a variety of circumstances. Why, Lord, is this happening to me? Why is this happening to someone I love? Why, Lord, do some of the most faithful people I know still suffer so much? Why do some of the most unfaithful people seem to prosper so much? Why, Lord, do things so often not go the way it seems they ought to go? Why does life so often seem so unfair? Why, Lord? Habakkuk's why questions were really not all that different from our own. To give you a glimpse into Habakkuk's world, he lived at a time when the Israelites were led by an ungodly king, Jehoiakim, and the faithful, who were few in number, were oppressed. The king had had a prophet named Uriah killed because he didn't like what the prophet had to say. He had attempted to do the same to the prophet Jeremiah for the same reason. And it's probably a pretty safe guess that the king wasn't much kinder toward their fellow prophet, Habakkuk. Faithful people were suffering, while many who opposed God seemed to be flourishing. This really did not seem to be the way things ought to be, and Habakkuk didn't understand why God was allowing things to continue this way. So Habakkuk went to the Lord in prayer, and he asked, why? The actual words that he prayed were, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong?" So the prophet had asked the Lord why, and the Lord responded. The Lord had heard his people's cries, and he would act. The Lord had patiently waited, as he had given Israel and its leaders time to repent, and he had sent prophets like Uriah and Jeremiah to call them to repentance. But the time of waiting would end, and the lack of repentance would ultimately be met with judgment. The Lord told Habakkuk that the injustice being done in the land would not be allowed to continue forever, and that Habakkuk would see this within his own lifetime. Because of the evil being done by Israel, the Lord would hand Israel over to the Babylonians, who would conquer them and take them into captivity. And now Habakkuk was even more puzzled. He had wanted the Lord to bring his righteous judgment against the evil in Israel, and now the Lord was saying that he would indeed do exactly that, but that he would do that by handing Israel over to the even more evil Babylonians. Habakkuk didn't understand how that could be part of the Lord's plan, so he prayed again to the Lord, asking again the same question: why? Habakkuk said to the Lord, "O Lord, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous?" So the prophet had again asked the Lord why, and the Lord again responded. On the specific question of why he would tolerate the treacherousness of Babylon, The Lord told Habakkuk that after he had used the Babylonians as his instrument for judging the Israelites, he would then also send judgment against the Babylonians. Evil would not, in the end, be allowed to stand. But the Lord also moved beyond the immediate circumstances of Israel and Babylon and made a broader point for Habakkuk and us to keep in mind for times when we struggle to make sense of the things we see in this world. The Lord said that even when things aren't going as we had hoped, or when things aren't coming together in the timing that we had hoped, the Lord said, "The righteous shall live by his faith." And it's in those words, "the righteous shall live by his faith," that we really come to the heart of God's answer. You might have noticed something interesting about this conversation between Habakkuk and the Lord. Twice Habakkuk asked the Lord why. Twice the Lord had responded, but neither time did the Lord actually answer the question, why? What did he do instead? He told Habakkuk, essentially, that he did have a plan and that he could be trusted to take care of everything. It would be in the Lord's own way and in the Lord's own timing, but he could be trusted to take care of everything. Meanwhile, his people were to live by faith. In other words, when Habakkuk asked the question, why, the Lord didn't answer because this or because that. Instead, the Lord answered, trust me. The Lord's answer was a call to faith, a call that was later echoed by Paul in 2 Corinthians when he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. People like King Jehoiakim and the Babylonians might seem to prosper for a time, but the righteous shall live by faith. Things in this life might get confusing, but the righteous shall live by faith. Sometimes life might seem unfair, but the righteous shall live by faith. Sometimes we don't have all the answers to our questions, but the righteous shall live by faith. Like Habakkuk, we often have the question, why? And like Habakkuk, we are welcome to come before the Lord and to lay all our concerns and our questions before the Lord. Also, like Habakkuk, we generally will not, in this life, know the specific answers to our questions of why. But the Lord does answer us. He answers us with the same answer that he gave Habakkuk, as he now says to us, trust me. As the Lord had a plan for Habakkuk and for the Israelites, the Lord also does have plans for you and for me. It will be in his own way and in his own timing, but the Lord does have good plans for us, and we can trust him to bring those good plans to fulfillment. So we live by faith, trusting in the Lord and his good and gracious will for us. And like Habakkuk, we have every reason to trust him. After the Lord had responded to Habakkuk and called him to live by faith, the prophet then reflected on how God had cared for his people in the past. He remembered especially the Exodus, how God had used his might to mercifully deliver his people, to save them from their enemies and give them a new life. And remembering God's faithfulness to his people in the past, Habakkuk then expressed his confidence that the everlasting, unchanging God could indeed be trusted to care for them still. And we have even more reason than Habakkuk to be assured of God's gracious care for us. For we can look back not only to the Exodus, but we look back to the cross of Jesus Christ. As Habakkuk remembered how God had delivered his people from the Egyptians and other enemies, we can look to the cross and remember how there God saved us from the enemies, sin, death, and the devil. And we can know that a God who did that for us can surely be trusted to keep us in his care now and throughout our days. After all, would a God who so loved us that he gave his only son for us now abandon us or let go of us? What more could he possibly do than he has already done to show us the depth of his love for us and his determination to deliver us? And so, just like Habakkuk, we cling to the Lord's words and we live by faith. We live by faith, trusting that God's will for us is good and gracious. We live by faith, trusting in him and his word with all our hearts, leaning not on our own understanding. We live by faith, trusting that he will use his might to give us his mercy. And we know that the life that we now live by faith is a life that will never end. Through faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, we are righteous in God's eyes. And so through faith in Jesus Christ, we know that we will live with God forever. As Paul says in the 5th chapter of Romans, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so our hope, our confidence, both for this life and beyond this life, is not based on the circumstances that we find ourselves in this fallen world. And our hope is also not based on anything that we ourselves do. Our hope is in the Lord, and it is in him that we trust. As Paul put it in Galatians, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. After the Lord had spoken to Habakkuk, the prophet understood that there would still be things that he would not understand in this life. But he expressed his faith, saying that even in those times, even when what he saw happening around him would not give him any peace or hope, yet in those times he would still trust in the Lord and would find his joy and strength in him. Habakkuk said, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. And for us too, there will continue to be times when we'll look at what is going on in the world or in our own lives and not understand why things are the way they are. But just like Habakkuk, we have a God we can trust in to bring us through those times and ultimately to bring us to himself. And there at last, everything will finally be the way it ought to be, everything will finally make sense. And as we rest and rejoice in the glory that our Savior suffered and died to win for us, as we humbly and gratefully fall down in worship before the Lamb of God who was slain for us, the only why that we will be asking is, why have I been so richly blessed that my Savior would do all this for me? All glory, honor, and praise be to him who loved us and gave himself for us, and in whom we trust, Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.